Welcome to Table Talk, folks. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porath, continue to dare to be Lutheran. And some of you maybe are sitting out there, if you've listened to this show for a while, you're saying, oh, those Lutherans, they're so pedantic. Talking about the commandments, you know, treating us like we're little kids. Why do you keep talking about stuff like this? Well, Brent, I don't know. We all should become little children with respect to God's word. We never get to the point where we think that we have learned it all. We have therefore conquered it. But we continue to hear that word so that it really transforms our lives.
Really? You haven't learned it all yet?
No. Nowhere close. I'm going to learn something here today, no doubt.
I hope so. I hope I will, too. I mean, the scriptures always, they're enlivening and they are enervating. I mean, boy, we're using some big words, pedantic.
I see. I'm going to learn things because you have to explain about four of those already.
I can't. I don't even know what I'm saying. Well, innervating means giving life.
Yeah.
The scriptures are like that. I mean, it's God's word. It the more you study it, the more you read it, the more you meditate on it, the more you hear it and learn it. Yeah, it opens up things that you never even imagined.
You know, another way that I take a run at this, too, is I have a default position that has to constantly be, put to death so that a new man might be brought to life. So this is what I mean by always learning from the Word of God, always learning from what the Ten Commandments teach us, for example, because I want to go a different way. I want to have a different law, a different word in my life. And so I think that's part of what we're doing here,
right?
Reorienting us, innervating us.
Yeah, according to God's Word.
Right.
Holy lives. You remember our Lord says, you know, when you pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we've discussed this a little bit, but just to review, God's name is holy all by itself. But God wants us, Jesus wants us to pray that because he wants his word to be holy and his name to be holy among us. And his name is hallowed or holied among us when we teach God's word properly and then lead lives according to God's word. And when we do that by God's grace and God's Spirit, we have holy lives. Just another side note on this. Christians are holy for Christ's sake. He gives us and lets us borrow his holiness. You know, that's the 2 Corinthians 5. That's that blessed exchange. He takes our sin and then he gives us his holiness. It's all gift. And our entire life lived as Christians is one of a holy and royal priesthood, as we've discussed before, according to 1 Peter. And so we as pastors have to be careful sometimes when we try to teach people that when they come to church, this is holy space and holy time, and give them, I think, inadvertently give them the wrong impression that all the rest of their life isn't. As if now this is the only place on earth that's holy space and holy time. No. All of our lives, as we live it according to God's word, is holy space and holy time. And so we just simply go about our work according to God's word. This is kind of a tangent, but I kind of get worried sometimes when pastors, when they're at church, it's like drama, as if trying to show that, boy, this is really, really holy stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, it is, but you know, a pastor should just go about his work on Sunday mornings like a plumber goes about his work or as an electrician does his work. He's got his work clothes on, it's the vestments, and he just does his work. You don't put on a show.
Brent, this talk about holiness and being holy, I guess it raises the question for me. Holiness, what's it good for? Why does God make us to be holy?
For the sake of the neighbor.
Oh, see, and here's one of those default positions once again, because I think maybe some of the listeners are thinking, oh, you become holy or you try to lead a holy life in order that you might gain heaven, if you will. That's what it's for.
Right.
Rather, no, God makes you to be holy for the sake of your neighbor. And therefore, when we talk about distinctions between the holy space in church and the rest of life, It's still God at work, but neither one of them are for gaining heaven.
Right.
Both of them are for God to be at work in this world for our sake and for the sake of our neighbor.
Yeah, and when you're in church, this it truly is holy space and holy time because God's word is what holies it. That's what going to church is all about. It's to hear God's word and to be given, once again, Christ's forgiveness and his holiness so that you then can live a liturgy,
yeah.
A liturgy after the liturgy, as Romans 12, for the sake of neighbor. It's called love.
Right.
And this is what the Ten Commandments are all about. You know, they not only show us that we're sinners, but they also have these other things that God does. And to show us, as we talked about the last time, how to get along with other people. And as we'll really get into the nitty-gritty of that today with the Sixth Commandment. But yeah, living for the sake of other people.
Well, might we say that the Ten Commandments orient us with respect to God and then respect to neighbor? In other words, it's always bringing us back to square, if you will.
Yeah, and this is this external word. The Ten Commandments are God's word. They come from outside of ourselves to matrix us or reorient us or to give us our proper identity, as you just said. That's one of the big buzzwords these days among theologians is proper identity. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Or realigned, if you will. Realigned properly towards God and then towards the neighbor. That's absolutely true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we get out of whack. We really do. It's like it's like the compass. We think we're going north and we're going, you know, southeast.
Yeah, so we Lutherans, when we dare to be Lutheran here, it's just simple ABC stuff. I mean, it's not some super spiritual thing. I mean, it's just the everyday ordinary, as it appears. The Word of God, Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer. Creed simply summarizes what God's Word teaches about himself and what he's done for us. So, commandments, creed, Lord's Prayer. What do the Scriptures say about our life as the baptized people of God? What did God give you in holy baptism? And then confession and absolution, the Lord's Supper. These things are just simply the ABCs of the Christian life.
So you don't have to have a PhD in physics, nor do you have to have, you know, a doctorate of theology in order to get it. It is basic and fundamental, and yet I think at the same time, you know, as we started the show, inexhaustible. We
yes.
never get to the depths of it, do we?
That's right.
And I think that's the, I don't want to say pure genius of it, but that's part of the great delight in this. That this very simple life of faith, really, faith, hearing God's word and saying amen to it, just manifests itself in our life more and more and more. And when we begin to see that and realize that, I think, as God's word then reveals, orients, gives us a proper identity.
This is why David constantly prays in Psalm 119. And if you don't pray this psalm, learn and observe. Where David begs the Lord constantly, teach me. I mean, there was a point where I told my father confessor, because he always said, you need to pray Psalm 119. Why? And then he told me, you need to pray like David so that the Lord will teach you. And there was one time I told my father confessor, said, I don't want to be taught anymore. I'm done. I don't want to learn anymore.
I'm a know-it-all.
Once I've
eaten from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I will know it all, and I will not need to be taught. Oh, Adam Brent.
Well, I meant that also in the sense of, you know, God was teaching me through suffering. I didn't want to be taught anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't want to suffer anymore.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And this is what a pastor has to teach people. The people he serves, because again, we are oriented differently as sinners. We always want to speak our own words, preach to ourselves, and God says, no, listen to me.
So the Lord's an adjunct professor in the School of Hard Knocks.
Yes, he is.
Who would have thought?
Well, let me say one thing. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, in the medieval church, and even to this day, of course, Aristotle was adopted and brought into theology. And one of the things that Aristotle taught was that, you know, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. So people were told, you will be saved by what you do, with the help of God's grace. We've mm-hmm. talked about this a million mm-hmm. times, so I won't talk more about it. But when the Reformation comes and the Word of God has its way with the church, Aristotle is replaced with God's Word. And so instead of works, suffering. You wanna learn? God teaches you through suffering. So that's just a side note. So we Lutheran pastors, I guess, you know, here we are. We're talking once again about the Ten Commandments, and what are we on, part 10, 11? I forget. I don't remember.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It's like...
What is... What does it matter?
Okay, Hillary, thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, you just can't help yourself. Well, we as Lutheran pastors,
I'm
we
sure
just simply
be edited out later.
We're just going to keep it in. We exercise our craft. We exercise our ministry by calling people to stop looking at themselves, preaching to themselves, etc., and then learn to live from the Word of God, to repent, to believe, and to live according to God's Word. I mean, we as Lutherans, we're very concerned about the life of love and how we live towards others. And I think we're emphasizing, this is one of the reasons why we're doing this study on the Ten Commandments again. So we got two kinds of words, law, gospel. And so when we take up the Ten Commandments, we're taking up the words of the law. And again, to repeat, we have to say it, the Ten Commandments don't give you salvation before God.
The Lord's not giving you a recipe for success here, a recipe for salvation.
Or as a goal that you can actually achieve.
Right, right. Work your way through this, and finally, maybe, someday. And, but you know, a lot of people live that way. That's, once again, that's our default position, isn't it?
Yeah, so backing up a little bit to review, we've been given the Ten Commandments for three reasons, I would contend, and this is just simply for the sake of pedagogy. How about throwing out another big word today? First, God wants you to believe, as we've observed, that you're a sinner and you deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. So the law comes as accusation. It always accuses you. And you'll know and you'll believe that you've not done what's finally asked of you, and so this prepares you to hear God's, another word, his word of gospel, the forgiveness of sins. To a sinner.
So right there, I mean, you know, Brent, we could take a huge tangent that would take another 10 shows right there. Because to begin with, this first word of law, if you will.
Or use, if you will, yeah.
Use of law. Will be met with great resistance.
Yeah, the old Adam doesn't like it.
And you Christians, see the problem, the reason why people feel guilty is because you're making them feel guilty.
Oh, yeah.
See, it's your fault.
You're judging me, Pastor.
If you'd lighten up, if you'd quit making up all of these rules, if you'd quit talking about sin and calling people sinners, in other words, if you just quit preaching God's word, then we'd be okay.
Well, and why did the mega churches grow in the United States?
They stay away from this, don't they?
Well, and the law is doable. That's why it's so popular in the United States for a preacher. I mean, seriously, I could quit this Lutheranism stuff. And I could preach the law as doable, as a goal you can achieve. And I guarantee you, I'd have a megachurch.
What kind of law is that? We were talking about this the other day about the preacher who said that he can preach the law in such a way that it was nice or something. Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, preaching the law evangelically is what I was taught.
Okay, there was another phrase for it or whatever. Yeah, yeah. So we don't use the law ever to
kill.
Accuse, to condemn, to crush, but only to hear.
As your friend who will help you reach your goal.
Right.
Whether it's in life or whether it's in heaven.
It's the buddy system to a good relationship with wife and with God.
But the law accuses and kills. The second thing is that God wants you to know what in the world he's doing in this world, in this created life, in order to do what? To help your neighbor, to preserve life in this old sinful world. And the third thing, of course, is God wants you to know that you're his instrument. You're his creature. You're his UPS delivery man, if you will, for the health and life of this world. Okay? So those are the three things. Now, we got to quit here, don't we?
Oh, you got a little, 30 seconds.
Well, I can't say what I want to say next in 30 seconds, so.
Well, let me say something.
Go ahead.
I think, Brent, what you've pointed out here is another thing that smacks us square in the face. We often live our lives as if God is not even around. You know, for the Christian, sometimes it's God has created this world, and now he's left, and we're all here by ourselves. No, folks, the Ten Commandments show us once again how the Lord continues to be at work in this world and using us as his instruments even for the benefit of the neighbor. We hope you'll come back after this break as we talk more about the word of the Lord.